in the band Woods at 4:17 on a Wednesday afternoon with the track Rain On. And we're back here at the Catskill Studio on the Wednesday afternoon show. I'm Ron Diamonstein. I'm joined by Hudson Talbot, who is both a member of the board, the Radio Council, WGXC, and he is on the board for the Thomas Cole Historical...
National Historic Site. National. And not only that, Ron...
Not only that.
But I'm on the board of the Catskill Community Center.
Oh, so it's actually one man, three hats.
Yeah. Okay. I'm juggling three hats today.
You are. And then as well, Elizabeth Jacks joins us. Ms. Jacks is the executive director of the Thomas Cole Historic Site right here in Catskill, and I welcome you.
Thank you.
Is that well, now try that. Is that now try?
Am I on?
I think talk more into the mic. More.
Am I on here?
I don't know. Yeah. Are you on?
Yeah, we can. This one's on, so we can.
All right. Well, we might again.
Does this make a difference?
Yes, it does.
Aha! There nothing it like turning the on switch.
Yes.
There you go.
You see, technology at its finest. Well, I want to welcome both of you here.
Thank you.
And I wanted to start with a sort of basic, simple question. Because the you did this announcement that the Hudson River School Art Trail, which has been in existence, I believe, since 2005.
That's right.
Has recently expanded. So to begin, let's talk perhaps about a brief background history of the trail and what its significance might be.
Okay, sure. Well, a renowned and beloved teacher, Barry Hopkins, through the late 90s and early 2000, developed a list of these sites where you can stand and see the view that is in a famous painting by a 19th century landscape painter. And they're all over us, all over this landscape, all around us here. He would lead hikes, and people would just have revelatory experiences in this magnificent site that looks just like the painting. So we wanted to make this broader. We wanted everyone to be able to participate in this experience. So we created a map, directions, launched a brochure. This is in 2005, and we called it the Hudson River School Art Trail. And we picked 8 sites that were in our immediate area, including the Thomas Cole House and Olana, the home of Frederick Church that's right across the river, as the 2 anchors for the trail. So that's how it got started.
There's just something I'd like just to add to that. We discovered there's something remarkably magic about seeing the painting and then seeing the view, standing right in front of the view. The artist interpretation of nature, but then secondarily, that we still have the view. We're so incredibly lucky that so much of our nature, our natural terrain, still exists in such a beautiful way that we can actually do this. We can present the painting at these particular sites, and the viewer can look at the painting and then look out at the view. It's a real wonderful experience to have both of those.
Yeah, recently I was up at Olana. I actually made my way to Olana for the first time, and of course, wildly impressed with the whole experience, but especially hearing some of the docents talk about the idea of preserving the view sheds and what that means for the experience, mm-hmm. obviously, of trying to put yourself in Church's shoes, for mm-hmm. instance. But what specifically is the significance, Ms. Jacks, of the Hudson River School? I mean, both in the context for American art, briefly, for the 19th century, and in terms of perhaps bringing it up to why should we be concerned with that in our little patch of the Hudson Valley today?
Well, someone could write a book on that.
I'm sure they have.
And they have, yeah.
But I would say that the significance of this art movement, the Hudson River School, is that primarily it was the first major art movement in this country. So it was a way of our expressing as a nation what we cared about, who we were, and it shaped a lot of our cultural ideals ever since. So it says a lot about who we are and who we still are. These paintings are very optimistic. They show America as a kind of a paradise. And it set in motion a feeling that we have as a culture still in America today, that our landscape is a big part of who we are. For example, our national parks. There are not a lot of countries that have these big national parks, but we as a country got together and said, we need to preserve the most beautiful places in our country because they're a defining feature of who we are. This is important to us. And that's what the Hudson River School artists were saying with their paintings as well.
The interesting thing to me that I want to add to that is that I think it also represents sort of the a conflicted feeling that Americans have always had toward nature, which is we love it, we admire it, and at the same time, we're devouring it. And certainly in the early 19th century, we were devouring it with both hands. And even today, you know, with all the environmental issues that are going on, nothing's really changed. We still have this big conflict in our collective soul about it, and it's still not really resolved. And so to me, that gives the Hudson River School and Thomas Cole in particular that much more significance, that he was saying it in his paintings as far back as back then. All of his paintings essentially are a large percentage were kind of cautionary tales. They were essentially saying, we've got Eden right here and we're about to throw it away. He was coming from Industrial Revolution England, and you will see in his paintings like little trains coming into the background, and or a little Native American figure who had not been in this area for 100 years, you know, prior to his painting that painting. So it's not just all upbeat and cheerfulness. There's a real depth and substance to what his point was.
Well, isn't that sort of the an underlying theme of the romantic imagination in painting? We were just talking about this just as we're getting ready to go on the air. This sort of already a longing for a lost sort of pastoral experience. And the two things that are popping to my mind, talking about, we'll get into more detail about the website, but on the website, as I was doing research for this, what caught my eye was the page for Thomas Cole's painting, View on the Catskill, Early Autumn, which I believe was painted somewhere between 1837 and 1838 for it was commissioned by a gentleman named Sturges, who asked Thomas Cole to paint the creek as he wished it might look, because already, by this time, in the late 1830s, the Catskill Creek was a focus of intense industrialization and development. So you have this, but he painted this very pastoral scene. You would never imagine that any kind of economic activity other than gathering fruit and nuts or maybe casting a fishing line into the creek could be occurring.
Absolutely. And Betsy, feel free to jump in on this, but it was really interesting this past weekend. We had a wonderful speaker, a scholar named Kevin Avery up from the Metropolitan Museum, and I asked him this question about words to the effect are we projecting onto Thomas Cole's paintings this notion that we want to see of his environmentalism, or was he really just painting from this sort of nostalgic point of view, which was so fashionable at the time of, the tragedy of loss, the tragedy, the romance of and the wistfulness of days gone by. And Kevin, much to my joy, said, no, absolutely. He was furious. He was furious at the time when he saw the trains coming in. He knew what it meant. He knew what was going to happen. He actually was sounding the alarm bell in his writings at the time, and in his contacts. He was connected to a lot of very influential people in New York, which spread and led on to what eventually became some significant contributions toward saving the Catskills, or returning them, I should say, to what they became in terms of setting aside a land. I'm sorry, I'm jumping in on your interview. What would you like to say to that?
No, it's absolutely right. I spoke recently at a Scenic Hudson event because the founding principles of Scenic Hudson and Thomas Cole's own words were so extraordinarily similar in their goals and the drive behind both of these things. So I would absolutely agree with Hudson. Thomas Cole wrote ferociously about the destruction of the landscapes going on all around him. He called the people developing the railroads copper-hearted barbarians, and he said they were dollar-godded utilitarians, and he had lots of great phrases for them. But his primary concern was that these the railroads and other signs of industrialization were completely careless in where they wrought their destruction. So he would say, you know, if that railroad would just have gone around that beautiful grove of trees, we could have transportation and beauty. Why did it have to go right through this ancient grove of cedars and without any regard whatsoever for this incredible treasure that we've now lost? So he had a balanced approach. You know, he thought development was good, but can we just take into consideration the value of nature as well?
Well, as Hudson Talbot mentioned just a bit ago, there's always been this sort of, I believe, push-pull relationship in the American psyche between love of our natural environment and a rapaciousness towards taking advantage of it. I mean, that I think that it is part of the American nature. If I was going to make a sweeping generalization, it's, you know, part of manifest destiny and part of an American exceptionalism that this was all given to us by God, and we're allowed to do with it as we see fit. And yes, there's this competing interest to, you know, savor some of it, but not to unnecessarily let it get in the way of making a dollar. I mean, you know, that seems to be the kind of the duality of America. To turn it back to the expansion of the art trail, it's now expanded beyond. At first, it was all these sites, I believe, were in Columbia and Greene County.
That's
now
right.
It's expanded through down into Ulster, I believe, Dutchess and Westchester, and then there's a couple of sites in Massachusetts, out in Wyoming. Can you explain? Is this has to do with the actual influence of the Hudson River School in particular?
Sure. We started out with 8 sites on this Hudson River School art trail. For those of you just joining us, there's sites where you can see the view that is in a Hudson River School painting. And we chose iconic sites like Catterskill Falls, where many Hudson River School artists painted. And it's easy to access it today. But now we've expanded it throughout the Hudson Valley in 5 counties, and as well, as you mentioned, into other states, because the Hudson River School artists painted in, not just in the Hudson Valley, as many people think Hudson River School means they only painted here, but they went not only all over the U.S., but abroad and South America. So, you know, we joke about having a Italian component someday where we map the sites in Italy where Thomas Cole painted, and, you know, I volunteer to go and scope those out.
Well, and Church was in Mexico and Peru and South America as well, so.
There's all sorts of vacation opportunities.
Yeah, in the Middle East.
That's right.
So.
Yep. You know, people ask, well, where are these sites? How do we find them? Well, we put them all on a website called HudsonRiverSchool.org, and very easy to remember. It's all the Hudson River School sites, so HudsonRiverSchool.org. And there you'll find the maps and the directions and the paintings compared with the views. And over the summer and also over the next who knows how many years, we'll be expanding this website. Right now we have up the basics. And for each of the sites, in addition to the paintings and the views, we want people to get real depth of content. So, for example, when they're standing looking at, say, Catterskill Falls, perhaps they'll also be able to hear somebody reading a poem that Thomas Cole wrote about the falls, or a journal entry where he says, "Today I hiked here and found XYZ," so that you really hear what the artist is feeling and saying when you're standing there.
And I just want to add to this that for me, the website is so exciting because it is really expanding, in some ways manifesting what I think of or what we all think of as our true mission, which is to be an education center for this. We do have a wonderful house museum. We want everybody to come visit it. We do wonderful lectures at the site. We want everybody to come hear them. But this gives us an opportunity to go way far out beyond Little Catskill, beyond our immediate borders, in terms of us bringing that education, that information, to the rest of the world. I said to Betsy just this past Saturday when we were at a ribbon cutting, it's sort of like we've taken our little home-baked goods and gone global with them. You know, that's what it's sort of feeling like now. We really have some great opportunities now for us to be known, and for other people, other folks, to find out what the Hudson River School is all about and why it's so important. We're really building that up, and I'm sure Betsy can speak to this too, about how, that it was a shame that it was neglected for so long. For almost a century, it had fallen out of fashion at the end of the 19th century, and really it wasn't until the end of the 20th that people started really taking much notice of it again.
I just wanted to interrupt for a moment to let our listeners know they're tuned to 90.7 FM, WGXE. This is the Wednesday afternoon show. I'm Ron Diamonstein, and I'm talking with Hudson Talbot and Elizabeth Jacks about the expanded Hudson River School Art Trail. Now, please do continue.
Well, is this a self-guided thing individually, or are there...
Tours that are led to several of the sites at a time?
We're doing both self-guided and guided, if you will, experiences. We have a whole schedule of guided hikes going on this summer and fall. They're on our website, thomascole.org. People can sign up and go with an experienced guide who will take you to the sites. But we also wanted this to be really user-friendly and easy to just go on your own whenever you want. You don't have to wait for the appointed time. So there are very clear directions, and you can just go. And on this, the website, we've optimized it for handheld devices, which means that when you are out there and you don't have your big, you know, you're not lugging your big desktop around with you, you can still go to the website on your iPad or iPhone. If you have a smartphone and call up the internet, you can get the paintings, the directions, all of that content with you on the go.
That's a very good idea.
The poems too, yeah. Okay. And what we'd like, we're going to be adding more and more of this humanities content over the course of the who knows how many years, but ideally then as you're walking down this beautiful trail, you can hear an audio of Jervis McEntee or some other artist who walked that same trail and wrote a journal entry about it.
Now, I had read a news story earlier about a report from the Daily Mail about the import of tourism as a driving force in the economic engine here in Greene and Columbia counties. And I was just wondering if you would want to talk a little bit about that, because Hudson was mentioning about the fact that it had been, you know, left to lie somewhat fallow for many, many years, and it's only recently been picked up that, a renewed interest in the Hudson River School. And so what does this represent, as you being literally on the front line, what does this represent for as a force of for tourism and for driving economic growth here?
Well, I think what we all know as residents of this area, what treasures we have here. But we haven't communicated this to the rest of the world enough. And what this art trail helps to accomplish is to show people the incredible assets that are right here, just a day trip out of New York City. There are millions of people who go to New York City every year. If we could just get a piece, a percentage of them to come up the Hudson Valley and see some of these sites, stay at our hotels, eat at our restaurants, shop at all the vendors here, then we will have made a huge economic impact on this area. But so this project exposes those incredible assets. It shows the world what kind of an experience you can have in this area. One look at those magnificent photographs, and then looking at the history and the culture that you can get along with that experience, we hope will really bring people to this area.
The Thomas Cole House had over 10,000 visitors last year. That's 10,000 in a six-month period of time. Now, as you know, Catskill's only 4,000. And so speaking as a Catskill resident, taxpayer, voter, I am looking to see how we can capture some of those tourist dollars down here on Main Street. I'm not sure why people haven't awakened to that fact yet, but we're all for it. I mean, the Cole House is absolutely in terrific support of that. We're doing as much community outreach as we can so that we get folks up there and familiar with it so that they feel like, you know, whether they love art or not or understand art, it doesn't matter. This is an economic opportunity for our area that really should be capitalized on right now.
And people are making really good suggestions to me about how we can help Main Street better, and we implement them as soon as we hear them. Like, for example, when we gave people driving directions to go to the Thomas Cole House, we had them get off the thruway, go up Route 23, and come in right at, that's the shortest route, right? But then they miss Main Street.
Absolutely.
So we rerouted everybody on our website now. The directions call for going right down Main Street first, then drive up to the Cole House.
Well, just a little convenient trickery there. But I mean, I think it makes a lot of sense anyway. You do want to let people know that there is a Main Street here. It's slightly struggling, but hopefully it will come back. And you don't want to think of the Thomas Cole House as simply an adjunct of the Hudson experience that just happens to be on the west side of the river.
And I would say that this Main Street is we think, oh, it's struggling, whatever, because we've seen some others that are nearby that are bigger. I've seen a lot worse, frankly. And this is a beautiful Main Street. And the architecture of this town is magnificent. And people who come here don't say, oh, what a sad little Main Street. They say, wow, this is a beautiful sight, you know. So I don't think we need to apologize at all for this magnificent Main Street that we have here.
In addition to tourism, I can think of another segment of the population that would probably benefit from the art trail. And in the face of so many school districts losing art teachers and Catskill losing this year, I wonder if when I was in high school, our teachers had the foresight, at least a couple of them, to bring us to Alana to see it. It had just opened. And I'm wondering if from the public schools and other schools, if groups of students could be taken on at least a portion of the art trail to help give them an appreciation from art that they might not get otherwise.
I'm really glad you mentioned that. We have a program going on right now in combination with this expansion of the art trail called I Live in a Painting. And
tell them who said that, because everybody will know.
Oh, that this phrase was uttered by Pat Hernandez, a wonderful vocal teacher.
Who happens to be in the next room right now.
And he said, that's it. That's the line. I live in a painting. That's perfect. Because that just captures the sense of pride and appreciation of your own home. So what we're doing is we're putting a call out to all artists or artist wannabes or artist to bees or people who just like to try art to submit a painting of one of these sites on the art trail. So go to the spot, make your sketch, make your painting on the spot if you want, take a picture, go home and make a painting from the picture, whatever you need to do. But get out on the art trail, experience that view, and then make a painting and submit it. And we're going to have a big exhibition of all these little paintings on September 23rd, our community day. So we invite all artists to participate. The information about it is on our website at thomascole.org.
And how big are the paintings?
Our idea was that the paintings would be small so uh-huh. that we could have lots of them up. Uh-huh. So we're thinking, you know, either a 5x7 or 8x10 kind of size, like a little painting, and like postcards from the trail.
So it's for an artist, it could be a convenient one afternoon little thing to pull off and
exactly.
submit, and you'll be able to say you had your painting hanging in the same room that Thomas Cole had his painting. That's what we're looking for. But it's a great opportunity. And Pat Hernandez, who everybody loves, he's a great teacher here at the Catskill High School, is very supportive of this idea. And responding to what you were just saying, Peter, he wants to take kids up there too, much like the way that our wonderful late friend Barry Hopkins did long time ago with his program called A Greater Sense of Place. So we're hoping to do that. On top of that, we've had in the past our education director coming down here, right here to the Catskill Community Center, and giving painting classes and landscape classes right here with the in the afternoon school group that comes in here, the after school group, I mean, that comes into the community center. So we love to do whatever we can to connect with the folks right down here on Main Street and the rest of town.
Yeah, I would think it would be very important to do a further integration of the townies, as it were, mm-hmm. with the Thomas Cole House. I mean, if you can build up, I suppose, a reservoir of awareness and pride in what we have here. I mean, it can't help but kind of spill out and you know, nurture other things in the town and village.
I wanted to say also that the Thomas Cole House is the community. It's not, you know, a separate thing from the community. The board, the staff, the volunteers, we all live here. And so, you know, we have over 60 volunteers who just come and do our gardens or lead our tours, or a whole host of things. And they're residents of Catskill or a nearby town, and very involved. So it's, you know, we are us, they are, you know, it's a seamless line between us.
Okay, well, so the expanded Hudson River School Art Trail, it officially opened, I believe, let me see, on Saturday, June 2nd, mm-hmm. just this week, and it's, so all of the facilities in New York State and elsewhere are now open.
That's right. Yes.
And so let's again run through the website is...
The website for the Art Trail is at hudsonriverschool.org. That's all one word, www.hudsonriverschool.org. And that's where you can see the maps, the directions, the paintings, and the photographs of the views today.
And Betsy, where would folks find the information again for the painting contest?
Actually, I put a notice of it right on our homepage, so they can just go to thomascole.org.
Okay, good. And you'll find all the information for that right there. And we're looking forward to bringing in as many submissions as possible. You have till September 23rd, right? For right up until that morning, I guess we'll be hanging them. We look forward to that. Another thing I just wanted to quickly get in that I'm looking forward to putting together myself is a barn dance at the end of the season. Just we close October 31st, and so sometime around that time we would love to host a barn dance up at our place in our visitor center. So stay tuned for that.
Oh, yeah.
More news coming.
Oh, yes. All right. So Hudson Talbot from both WGXC, the Catskill Community Center, and the Thomas Cole House, and Elizabeth Jacks, who is the executive director of the Thomas Cole Historical Site right here in Catskill. I want to thank both of you for coming by and giving us this information, and it was a pleasure.
Thank you very much, Ron.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, and so the time now happens to be 4:45. You're tuned to WGXC 90.7 FM in stereo, or you're listening at WGXC.org. You can stream from there. We'll be back with some more information or something that akin to information, but how about a little bit of music from Anita O'Day?